politics has never been stranger or more online, which is why the politics team at Wired is making a new show, Wired Politics Lab. It's all about how to navigate the endless stream of news and information and what to look out for. Each week on the show, we'll dig into far-right platforms, AI chatbots, influencer campaigns, and so much more. Wired Politics Lab launches Thursday, April 11th. Follow the show wherever you get your podcasts.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hello!
Wow.
Let me. I'm going to try and calm this down. Travis.
Yeah.
What's up?
Not much.
Excellent. What's going on with Adam, man?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling fine.
Caffeine, maybe?
Beer in with my wine.
I think he's practicing for his new show that I'm trying to talk him into, which is Jews Read the News.
Hello. No, it's Jews Sing the News.
Oh, I'm such a dope. Go ahead. Sing the news. What happened today, Adam?
Another day of inflation. It seems like gas will soon have to ration.
It doesn't rhyme.
Things are not going well with the nation.
That does rhyme. Mm-hmm.
I think it's time for another libation.
Wow. Mm. Nicely done, Adam. So what did happen this week besides Adam clearly losing his mind?
Someone stole my recycling bin. That was a weird one.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Scandal.
Did they just have a cooler new one and you made yours disappear?
I have absolutely no idea. They were really noisy about it. So yeah.
No. I meant like, was it a scam on your part? You know how like sometimes they do a reissue and then like people who move to your neighborhood who are new, they get the nice new recycle containers and you still are stuck with your crappy old one?
No, I hadn't thought about that actually.
So this was legit got stolen.
Yeah.
Where'd it go?
I have absolutely no idea.
If it was stolen, how would he know where it went, Bob?
Hey, you can find these things. Did you put signs up? Did you say, have you seen this recycled?
Wait, are you the guy putting up the pictures all over the telephone poles asking people if they saw a recycling unit?
Have you seen this used matchbook? I put up all kinds of signs. Have you seen my napkins? Speaking of recycling, we got any good password-related stories this week?
They found 24 billion credentials, being usernames and passwords on the dark web.
That's Dr. Evil, pinky to the lips.
I knew you were going there.
Billion passwords.
I thought you were giving a list of who found them, like Minion A, Minion B, Adam, Adam's buddy from, you don't play golf, so I don't know where your buddy's from the gym. Adam's big on the gym these days.
Yeah, I'm big on them. I pass by them. I think about them often. I occasionally show up. So my gym, every time you walk in, they have a new question. My son and I try to figure out the question. Most of the time we get it wrong, but you know, every so often we get it right. Like, here's one for you. What's the fastest muscle in your body?
The fastest muscle in your body.
I'm not sure, but if I had to guess, I'd say the heart.
Nope.
No. I'm going to say the eyelid muscle.
Close. It's the eye.
That's not a muscle.
Well, that's the question, and that was the answer.
Damn.
Weren't we talking about passwords?
We were. We were talking about... But, you know, if you think about
it... I have to say, this is the first time that our producer, Andrew Steven, has had to break the wall of his studio in order to get us back on course. We're clearly suffering from some sort of almost midsummer cuckoo bean illness. Let's get on target here, on focus.
Let's roll the tape back. Cuckoo bean?
I was wondering about that one.
Cuckoo bean. What's wrong with cuckoo bean?
What is a cuckoo bean?
It's your head, man. A bean is a head, and cuckoo is what you are. Cuckoo bean.
I take offense at that.
That's not even a word. I take you as reference for that.
So can you imagine 24 billion exposed passwords?
There's not 24 billion people on the planet.
That's correct, but you have lots of people who use multiple really stupid passwords.
like ha 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 ha.
Or 123456.
Or just password.
A password that a lot of children use because they have not been, like their parents, they have not the slightest inkling as to how dangerous a bad password can be. So the password will just be, you know, six zeros in a row.
It's definitely not that people haven't been told repeatedly not to use weak passwords.
Because the attitude is, it'll never happen to me, so whatever password I wish to use, like, you know, hello. They're talking about we're going to a passwordless future.
Yeah, the moment, I think it's a good move.
In the moment, we're at a mindless present when it comes to passwords.
100%.
I'm still skeptical that we're ever going to fully do away with the password. People have been saying that we're heading to a passwordless future for decades at this point, and it's still sticking around. So.
Okay, so what would it look like? Let's talk about that for a moment. Do you have, I know that Apple and Google and several entities have said they would like to move in that direction. How would it work?
One of the big ones that they want to use is for facial recognition.
I already use it. That's really going to be useful while COVID's bopping around.
Except when Bo finally shaves his beard, then it will say, who are you?
No, actually, you know, originally identity, and this is really a good little piece of information. I forget what the system was called, but it was the first kind of identity that was used in a widespread way was based on body measurements. And there were certain measurements like the length from your hand to your shoulder and around your head, a few other measurements that they used on prisoners to identify them because you couldn't fake it. You couldn't fake those particular measurements. And the same goes for facial recognition now. So my beard doesn't matter so long as my eyes stay relatively in the same place and my nose stays in the same place. It can still recognize me even with a beard on. So you, Adam, you're not going to, when you get those funny glasses with the big nose and the mustache, they can still tell who you are.
Well, actually, what I'm most excited about is you remembered what we wrote in our book.
It's true. That is something that we wrote. So it is sort of engraved in my head. You can find out more in Swiped, which has a password I can never remember.
The book?
Yeah, the book that I co-wrote with you. I don't remember the password ever.
We had a password for the book we wrote?
Did I say password?
Yeah.
You did.
I need to go to bed. I meant subtitle. I meant subtitle.
How to protect yourself in a world full of scammers, fishers, and identity thieves.
All right, Travis, what's the subtitle of the book?
How to protect yourself in a world of scammers, fishers, and identity thieves.
No, a world full of scammers.
See, I can never remember it either. I mean, for years now, and I cannot remember it.
That's okay. Once I was explaining, I said, how to protect yourself in a world full of fishers, scammers, and identity thieves. And someone said, you don't even remember the subtitle to your own book? Welcome to What the Hack, a show about hackers, scammers, and the people they go after. I'm Adam, cyber scam samurai.
I'm Bo, cyber dustpan.
And I'm Travis, cyber geisha.
I feel like the object that doesn't match.
Yeah, and I heard samurai. I was assuming you're going to go for ninja or something.
No, just dustpan.
And today we hear how COVID, unemployment, and a Brad Pitt movie changed the life of Abby Sturgis.
I just got back from France and there was a lot of stuff I couldn't stream because I was in the wrong region. But using NordVPN, I was able to stream everything.
I use NordVPN too, but it's more to protect my private data, like bank details, passwords, and online identity. There are a million trackers online that are just sort of watching you. And NordVPN is a great way to get around those.
NordVPN can switch your virtual location, allowing you to save money by purchasing flights, hotels, subscriptions from other countries at a cheaper price.
If you're traveling and you're using public Wi-Fi, NordVPN can protect you wherever you are.
It's not just that. NordVPN also comes with threat protection, which helps protect you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites.
NordVPN is the fastest VPN in the world, and it'll only set you back the price of a cup of coffee a month.
To get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/WTHack.
And hey, there's no risk. It's a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Check the link in the podcast description.
So here's the deal. I use Yahoo Finance. I use it to make money because it works, not just because they're a sponsor of the show. Heck, I've been using them for years before they ever called to become a sponsor. I do a lot of investing, and I need to make split-second financial decisions, and that's where Yahoo Finance comes in. I trade stocks, and I trade options, and you can't trade them in a vacuum. You've got to know what's going on. Yahoo Finance gives you the opportunity to look at the whole picture. I mean, breaking news, editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts. I love the customizable charts. They have it all. At Yahoo Finance, I'm part of a community of over 90 million users. You heard me. 90 million folks use Yahoo Finance because they're helping you on your way to financial success. Visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. That's yahoofinance.com, yahoofinance.com. So today we want to welcome to the show Abby Sturgis, who is dating my nephew. Terrific woman, a New Yorker originally, and then her life took an interesting turn based on a movie.
Well, I was born in upstate New York, and my dad actually saw the movie A River Runs Through It.
Now, hold on. There's lots of rivers that run through upstate New York. Where in upstate New York were you from?
Well, so I was born in Albany, okay. But my
river definitely runs through that.
But my family's in Johnstown and Gloversville too. So,
oh, nice.
So he saw the movie A River Runs Through It, which was filmed in Montana, and prompted the move for us because he's a big hunter fisherman, and we made the trek across the country and moved to Montana when I was about 2 years old. So I've been there most of my life, and have been now in LA for about 6 years.
How did he pitch the move?
I mean, I was a little young to remember.
Right. She was two, Travis. She was two.
I'm just sort of imagining coming home from a movie and just being like, guess what? We're moving.
Especially when there's like hunting and fishing around Albany. There's plenty of hunting and fishing around there.
He was throwing you a line, clearly.
Yes. Well, I mean, the fly fishing was really what got him on the hook, I should say. All the fly fishing in Montana is a huge deal out there. And just the peace and quiet. And
well, I'm waiting for bated breath to find out more about your Montana experience, especially for those of us who are fans of the TV series Yellowstone. Montana has become very near and dear to our hearts.
Oh, well, Montana is a beautiful place. I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed my time living there. I'm so lucky to have grown up in such an amazing place that, I mean, has everything outdoors from, hiking, water sports, skiing. The skiing is phenomenal. I actually most of my jobs growing up were more outdoors. I worked, on Whitefish Mountain Resort. I did summers at the Aerial Adventure Park. I taught ski instructions, every seasonally. So grew up with a very outdoorsy lifestyle. It was really nice place to live.
So you worked in Whitefish. So you must be near the Flathead Reservation and out there in the Northwest. Where are you from?
Yeah, so northern Montana. It's called Kalispell.
Oh, Kalispell,
right near Whitefish. 15-minute drive. We're about 30 minutes from Glacier National Park, hour from the Canadian border. So it's very beautiful. Lots of mountains, lakes, rivers, all of it. So it was definitely a beautiful place to grow up. I'm very grateful.
What brought you to LA?
Well, growing up in such a small town, very secluded area, there's more cows than there are people in Montana. So I definitely, a lot of people, once they graduate high school, want to get out of Dodge and they go experience the world. And for me, I started in Denver, loved it, but the market and everything got so crazy. I was like, why not live by the coast? So California had always been, something at the top of my mind. And great career-wise, I was doing eyelash extensions at the time, so I made the move and was fortunate enough to work at some amazing salons here and take some incredible VIP clientele. So that was the absolute goal, and it was great to accomplish that. And now I've transitioned into real estate.
What made you get out of the business and get into real estate?
So there are a lot of physical issues that can come with working such a physically demanding job. So you're doing very tedious motions for long hours of the day, very repetitive kind of detail work. Typically what you'll see in lash artists, the most common kind of physical ailment is going to be carpal tunnel. Before the pandemic hit, I was having to reduce the amount that I worked. And so when the pandemic happened, I definitely took advantage of that, break on my body and kind of exploring what other industries I could be interested in that wouldn't maybe affect my body quite as much.
When the pandemic started, you were making a transition or already thinking about it. And I imagine it's pretty hard to do eyelash extensions during a pandemic that is transmitted from person to person contact. What did you do?
Yes, absolutely. So here in LA, the salons were definitely one of the first things closed down because of the close contact that we come in on a daily basis with our clients. So it affected my industry specifically very quickly and abruptly, absolutely. So I was out of work. I then transitioned into receiving unemployment assistance with the pandemic. So
now in the state of California, how does the unemployment system work? So as a recipient, how do you get the money?
So here in California, they have a portal where we would claim our benefits weekly and have to, place in all the info on whether we received any income, et cetera, and do weekly benefits online. And then we received a card through Bank of America that would have those funds transferred through the portal.
Is it a credit card or a debit card?
So it is a debit card. We had a PIN number, but it did not have a microchip. It only had the swipe.
Why is that?
I was really interested by that as well. I do not know.
You don't know why. Adam, you have any thoughts on that? Because the chip is more secure.
No, the chip is definitely more secure, but a lot of states, even though they are trying to get more technologically advanced, haven't quite made the complete leap to chip and PIN.
Interesting.
Yeah, I was definitely surprised by the lack of chip on our system.
I know, Abby, I am too.
It definitely would have come in handy.
And how easy was it to actually start receiving the funds?
If I remember correctly, I believe it took a while to get it initially approved. I want to say like around a month of waiting. Okay. And then, throughout the process, typically there would be, you know, I would get it regularly. There wouldn't be too much delay, but every once in a while, I think it was had to do with the overwhelming amount of applicants for EDD and like the, you know, whatever money that they had designated for it.
By the way, EDD stands for the Economic Development Department of the State of California.
It slowly started to have issues with people. Like it would tell me, oh, claims have been approved for this week, but then I wouldn't get the money in my account. So, you know, little things like that would happen and you'd have to call or email and try to figure out, you know, where are these funds? Hey, what's going on? So little things like that definitely happened. And usually you could get some sort of contact and resolution around like 2 weeks if there was an issue with that. But
it required a lot of holding time, didn't it?
It
kind
did.
Of like your life is passing in front of you.
Yeah. Yes. And it definitely, you know, throughout, as time progressed, it got harder and harder and more issues started coming up. And, you know, take longer delays and then people aren't responding to your emails and questions. So it definitely started a downward spiral with their system and communication with it. So
is that something like, was the unemployment system sort of broken to begin with, or was it just having that many people with losing their jobs due to COVID?
So I personally, I'm not 100% sure, but I do, you know, I wasn't on unemployment before the pandemic, but from what I read and understood of when this was happening specifically in California, I do think it was a lot of issue with the way that they dispersed the money and the fraud. From what I understand, there was, you know, like a ton of fraud cases happening on a larger scale. And they kind of like took that and punished every little, you know, all the little account holders and everything and made it, you know, it became everybody's problem that there were huge fraud accounts happening.
When you called in, were they responsive to you?
No, you would be on hold for days, if not, you know, I mean, it.
Did you even, could you get through to the, I mean, you know, those systems where sometimes they just hang up on you?
Absolutely. So like I said, you know, in the beginning, they were better about responding, at least via email, you could get some sort of like communication and on the EDD portal itself. But when you tried calling, I mean, it just progressively got to the point of absolutely, they would hang up. You can, you know, no matter how many times, no matter what time you called, no matter, you know, how long you were on hold, it could just hang up at random or it would do it right away. You couldn't even be on hold. It was so long of that, especially when I had my fraudulent thing happen. It was at its worst. Absolutely.
And when I, you know, I recall when I was, this was happening and I was researching it, the only way people could find out anything was just by other recipients talking to each other on Twitter and social media.
That's the only way I knew. I had to go on social media to see if anybody else was going through what I was, because I was just getting so many people, thousands and thousands of people in the exact same situation. I claimed my benefits. I haven't gotten anything. They won't answer the phone. It's been 4+ weeks. I have rent to pay. Nobody's answering. Nobody's getting back. It was, I mean, constant for so long, for so many people.
This spring, get out there, enjoy the weather, and recapture the magic of riding a bike with Electric e-bike.
With an amazing variety of models built for riders of all abilities, it's never been easier to fall in love with riding again. Plus, every Electric e-bike ships free and only requires quick, toolless assembly.
This is my first ever e-bike, and the experience has just been great. I was a little bit intimidated at first because I hadn't gone biking in a while, but the 500-watt motor that the Electric e-bike comes with really gives you a nice little boost, especially if you're trying to go uphill or pick up some speed.
Data shows that e-bike riders take their bike out more often. That means you get more exercise, more exploration, and wait for it, fresh air.
And riding an e-bike isn't like, it's not cheating. It's just making it possible for you to be out there longer on each ride. And speaking of things going a little slower, you can finance Electric e-bike for as little as $49 a month.
Get into spring with Electric e-bikes, the number one selling e-bikes in the nation. Get your adventure started at electricebikes.com. And please mention that What the Heck with Adam Levin sent you in the post-checkout survey.
That's electricebikes.com.
Blanca Martinez, like many other Californians, has a big problem with EDD. I was going to do my last certification, but come Monday morning, found out that my account was pending.
She called ADD right away. Even though she had been collecting benefits for much of the pandemic, she was at first told she'd need to recertify her identity. She did so right away. But after further back and forth with EDD, the woman on the other end told her it was more complicated.
She did mention the words to me that it's not only proving my identity, that there was fraudulent activity.
Blanca says she was told by EDD not to call back because
the people that verify my identity is a whole different department. And they do not take calls and they do not get messages. And they have 10 to 12 weeks to verify my identity.
And we reached out to EDD, who said that they're inundated right now. And the soonest they'll be able to provide new details is this coming Thursday.
I was going online, checking, you know, my balance and everything, confirming what I had from that I had received my benefits for that week. And I noticed that there was a charge for American Eagle for $400. And I thought, I haven't shopped at American Eagle. I have not been shopping with my pandemic money. So that's very interesting. So I go and I look at the transaction and see that someone from Kansas had shopped and sent themselves some online clothes. So
how much?
It was over between $300 and $400.
Oh wow! Okay.
That they spent at American Eagle. I saw the transaction. So from there, I called Bank of America to see what I could do. They told me that because it was pending, that they couldn't do anything. So they had me wait until the transaction went fully through.
And how long did that take?
I believe it took a couple days, nothing too severe. But then when I called back, once it had posted, they tried to tell me that I shouldn't have let it be posted. And that there wouldn't, that it would be difficult now to get the money through. I said, well, I'm not in Kansas. So I don't have anything sent.
Banks have been very difficult during these processes. Banks are difficult in general,
You
know, especially when it involves debit cards.
But Adam, I'm curious. They wanted her to hold, and then they said, well, we can't cancel it because it hasn't posted yet. And then when it did post, they said, oh, sorry, you shouldn't have let it post. that to me just sounds like a horror show. So
and what am I supposed to do? Posting it? I've already called you and said there's something wrong in River City, and
you have no choice between those two choices because you have to do one or the other, and they've told you not to do either. But so what did end up happening? Did you get your money back, or did you? And how long did it take?
I did end up getting my money back. I had to, lots of phone calls, emails, proof that I was in California, and I believe it took around 2 weeks to a month to get back. They have hundreds of fraud cases every single day. So I just feel like it was all always delayed and just took way too long. So
this was a bank issue. This wasn't an EDD.
Yeah, I believe they must have somehow, you know, some sort of site I went on online, maybe got the card information, you know, something I had purchased online. I'm honestly not sure how someone in Kansas got my EDD Bank of America card information.
So, so that was on episode number one, but then there was episode number two, which, as I understand, was even more scary.
Made a trip down to Palm Springs and used my card at a gas station. I didn't think anything of it, but after the trip to Palm Springs, came back, did my weekly benefits. I believe I had 2 weeks on there, that they had owed. So I was set to get a decent, a larger chunk of that. So I went online to double check. I had certified for my benefits. I went to check my account and I saw that I had received my benefits, and then it said negative $2,000. So all of my EDD.
Negative $2,000.
So it went, it had taken that amount out.
Okay, you weren't upside down by 2000. Okay, right. You didn't owe the state $2,000.
Yes, no, it didn't go negative, but they took all of the money in my account. It was cleaned out as if they were watching and waiting for the balance to go up and then just took it. Out of nowhere, all my EDD money was gone and I had rent to pay. I believe it was right at the end of the month. So I was having to pay it very quickly.
You mentioned a gas station. I'm just wondering if that's where you think that the card was compromised.
Yes, I do think it was compromised. I was able to deduct that, I mostly used my card. I mean, it was for rent, gas, and, the very basic necessities. So I wasn't, I didn't use it too often. And so I was able to deduct from the fact that the last place I had used it was that gas station in Palm Springs. So I called the gas station and, said, hey, I've had money stolen. It's something going on. And the person at the gas station said that I guess he had received multiple calls that people were, that wasn't the first call he had received from people asking, where his money went. He didn't know what happened. So I personally, I don't know if it was the store employee who had put it on, but it turns out that I guess it was something called a skimmer.
Yep.
Skimmers. Yeah.
And that was my first introduction to skimmers. I didn't know they existed.
Well, welcome to our world.
Well, Adam, I actually think, Abby, it may have been your second introduction to skimmers, because it sounds like the Kansas purchase on American Eagle probably also occurred.
Really?
Some kind of skimming. Probably. I mean, you're using a device, a magnetic strip, which is super easy to record on almost every skimming tool out there. So, what I was wondering, Adam, was if the Kansas purchase was a, little
test.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Could have been because the, stuff was shipped to Kansas, which means you don't really know where all of this started.
Yeah.
But it's very clear. It's like step one was, let's see if we get away with merchandise. And then step two is
money.
Now let's go all the way. Let's get the full Monty on this.
And the fact that they were, it seemed as though they were watching and waiting for the money to drop, is a little off, because they know exactly when the money's going to drop. Same way you do. That anyone going after this money is aware of when the government, is going to put that money in your bank account, in your debit card account. And so the question becomes, what kind of pawn scum does that?
Yeah, that was definitely a real shocker for me. I of course know that people get scammed a lot, but I was just shocked to think that there's people out there who would take from people in such need, in such a hard time for the whole entire world. And, I shudder to think of people, I am so blessed to have support from my family, from my friends and people who helped me through that situation. But thinking of people who don't have that kind of support, who have kids that they have to, they have to feed, they've got rent, they've got bills, they don't have people who can help them and support them through something like that. It's just, it ruins so many lives, I only imagine.
So now you find out your $2,000 is gone. Now what? How'd you feel? What'd you do?
Devastated. Definitely had a little bit of a meltdown.
How'd you feel? There's Adam. How'd you feel? What'd you do?
It was hands down, the most stressful time, I think, in my adult life. I had a steady career of lashing. The pandemic hits. It's everything changes. My whole adult life has changed overnight, essentially. The workplace, everything has changed. And then you're relying solely on the government to get you through it. And I've never been in a position like that, so vulnerable, so dependent on a system's help. And then to have that system just totally backfire and, make your living situation near impossible. It was so frustrating and disheartening. And, I spent hours and days on end on the phone, just crying and, you know, just having so at my wit's end with this. So, you know, just with no response, no, you know, government didn't care. It was a mess. Yeah, I believe it was after that first month going into the second that they, you know, I was finally receiving the paperwork that I had to, you know, put in for the fraud. And you know, they started doing the more communicative gestures with me. But, you know, it was weeks and weeks of absolutely nothing. Calling, getting hung up on, couldn't even reach any sort of system, no response to my emails. And all I could do was look on Twitter and see what everybody else was saying. And it was the same thing. Nobody was answering in California. Nobody.
Did your weekly payments continue to come in? I mean, this $2,000 was gone. But did they continue to come in?
I don't believe so. I think that around that time when it happened was when there were tons of cases of fraud. And from what I remember, it seemed like they kind of shut down paying people because there were so many cases of fraud. Like it went weeks and weeks and weeks without being paid. And I wasn't able to get the money in for my claims because I don't know. I can't really remember. I feel like it may have been because there was a fraudulent case happening, and so they were not continuing to payments. But
so they halted, and so that, and just to be clear for listeners, you had to apply and recertify every week that you had looked for a job, didn't find a job, and therefore needed assistance.
Yes, weekly.
And then when you did that, you would get paid every week. So when you say it had taken weeks for you to get any money, that was really 4 or 5 payment periods that you didn't get paid on.
Yes. And, you know, like I mentioned before, you know, I was fortunate enough. I had my family's support and they helped me through that time. But, you know, there was rent and bills due that I wasn't able to pay because they weren't answering. They weren't getting back and did nothing to help my situation.
Yeah, because it's not like the bills stop.
Exactly.
When the compensation stops.
Mm-hmm. So was Bank of America more helpful the second time around, or did you just have the same experience again with them?
I'd say it was about the same. They, you know, like Bank of America and the California EBB, just it was almost like it was a team effort to not answer anybody's questions or concerns. So,
well, one of the ironies there too is that if you're on unemployment and you're trying to find a new job and then you're having to spend that much time on the phone or trying to get in contact with the unemployment office or Bank of America, that kind of cuts into the job application process.
So. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it felt like it was a full-time job trying to get the money that was stolen back from me and, you know, settle.
You're trying to do a full-time job and you're doing a full-time job trying to get your money back.
Yes, yeah.
How did it ultimately resolve itself? Did you get the money back? And how long did it ultimately take you to get the money back?
I did get the money back. I believe it was around that 2-month mark. And it took, you know, I had a caseworker. I had to fill out a lot of paperwork, do a lot of that sort of thing. It kind of went away from being digital and more into, you know, a paper trail with that sort of thing. So we started, I had like all this fraud paperwork I had to fill out. And apply for, and then through the mail, it obviously takes a little bit longer. So it definitely, you know, it took, I think, closer to that 2-month mark to actually see things go back to normal in terms of benefits and everything.
And during that 2-month mark, in addition to this money being gone, you did not see any additional money from California?
No, I was flat broke for well over a month. You know, I'd have to check my actual statements, but I believe it was between that first and second month that I did start to see a return of benefits. So it started slowly, but it was, you know, they went a long time without answering or responding to anything. And there was definitely a period of limbo where.
No, and it's not easy for you to catch up. That's clear.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. According to comparecards.com, 23% of Americans have been the victim of skimming at the gas pump. That is up 8% from last year.
Was there anything that you got out of the experience that if you were to say, okay, if I had to go through this process again, I would do this differently? Or was it just pretty much a, you know, complete and utter cluster?
I would say it's definitely a little bit of both. You know, I feel like I learned a lot. Like I had mentioned, I didn't even know what a skimmer was before this happened. Growing up in small town Montana, I mean, these kind of frauds are not really common. I didn't even know that that existed.
Most people think a skimmer is something you use to clean the top of a swimming pool. So.
Yep. That's what I thought. but yeah, no. So I learned that, you know, I feel like a lot more emphasis on me needing to continually check your accounts, make sure that everything is correct, you know, like be on it. If there's a charge that you aren't familiar with, you know, making sure to always be checking. That's something that was a big thing, big lesson for me.
I think over $100 billion worth of unemployment compensation. In fact, much more than that disappeared during COVID. And that a lot of states are in the process of still clawing that money back along with the federal government.
Now, is that PPP money as well you're talking about, or are you talking about unemployment?
Unemployment benefits, as well as, I believe the federal government was also providing extended unemployment benefits.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah. And so it was, I mean, the state of Washington alone had hundreds of millions of dollars worth of fraud that they were able to recover, I think, half of it back. But scammers got on this really quickly, and they went to town. And an awful lot of people got hurt. And so I hear how grateful you are in terms of the fact that your family stood up for you, but this could clearly devastate somebody who didn't have the kind of support system that you had.
And it makes you think that the scammers should have, like, the penalties for these guys should be merciless, if you ask me, because they are completely merciless when it comes to the people they are affecting.
And that was something that was so frustrating for me. Honestly, I didn't know that there were people this low and that there were, you know, people who would do this. And I wanted, you know, justice. I was like, how can people do this? People, like, you know, it seemed that they were telling me, well, there's nothing you can do. They took the money, like, impossible to track and all that. And it's like, how? This is the internet. Like, there need to be consequences for this. They should absolutely be punished to the highest extent.
They become very aggressive in terms of going after those people that I identify. But there were a lot of people that they couldn't identify and a lot of people that were operating way beyond the jurisdiction in the United States in countries that look the other way. Either because it was generating a line item for the GDP of a particular country, or it was that the government just didn't care.
And even if they're able to track them down, too, the damage has already been done if you're one of the people that's been stolen from.
We truly appreciate you sharing your story with us and our listeners today. And we can't thank you enough for taking time and being with us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I'm happy to share my story in hopes that people can learn from it. Absolutely.
So, guys, skimmers.
Swimming pools.
You said that. And I'm like, you know, I don't know if people who haven't spent a lot of time in swimming pools think swimming pool first with skimmer, but I don't know what else you would think of. What else is, I mean, skimmer.
Mob, gambling.
Oh, yeah.
People
that's
skimming
right.
Money off top.
You really are from New Jersey, aren't you?
I am. You know, it's the slogan in New Jersey is, skimming ain't just about pools, baby.
As I recall, like, you know, back in the day when skimmers were first an issue, maybe 10 years ago, I think that was about when I first started hearing about them, they were pretty big. And if you were paying attention, you actually would have had to have been a little daft to fall for it, because you could see, they're like, oh, there's something on my something that I'm skimming my card in. Are they still pretty easy to recognize? Or my understanding is they're not.
No, they're not. They're really low profile. From when we had Brian on a couple of weeks ago, one of the things that he said was that unless you're specifically looking for it, you would never notice it. They're small, they fit right over the card slot, especially in a gas pump, and yeah, you would be none the wiser.
Especially at a gas pump, you're kind of distracted.
Right.
But I heard Brian talking about that, but I still feel like I would see it. I feel like you would see some sort of little nubbin sticking, you know, a little bit of the profile would be a slightly wrong, and you'd clock it. Are you saying that there's something that fits inside of the card slot that is so small that you wouldn't be able to detect it? I just don't buy it.
They fit over it, so that's the thing. But it's not that you're seeing something that's in the card slot. It covers the card slot.
But it looks just like the card slot.
Right, exactly.
So it's like the fake website landing page that you get from a phishing email.
Right.
You also have to think about the context. You know, when you go and use an ATM machine, you're kind of really focused because you've got to come up with a variety of different things in order to do it right. You know, how much you're going to do. You're thinking about money. At a gas pump, well, now you're thinking about money, but at a gas pump, you're in the middle of a trip. You may have to run to the restroom, so you just want to get it in, get the pump going, and then leave your car and go into the gas station. Or you want to get food, or you're thirsty, whatever. So you're thinking about five or six different things. Just it's a different environment than when you're at the ATM machine.
And Adam, so I'm so happy to hear that. I know that's how you operate. I'm going to have to put someone on you next time. If you leave your car alone at the gas station and go in and do stuff?
No, I don't. I don't. But it's a lot of other people that do. I watch them do it.
I gotcha. All right. Well, that's a drag because I like your car.
Just like my watch that you've been trying to steal for 7 years.
Yeah, for listeners who don't know, whenever Adam is relaxing and thinking, I like Bo, I put my hand on his wrist to say I like him too, and then I try to take his watch. Well, I just, the only other thing I learned in this episode is that, you know, the bad people out there, the threat actors, are incapable of any kind of moral
empathy.
Pause. Yeah, mm-hmm. There's no feeling heart there. This is just I don't get it. I get it, but I don't get it.
Bo, I appreciate the way you feel about this.
Yes.
And heaven knows you are 1,000% right. But think about all of the people that do ransomware attacks against healthcare facilities, and then talk to me about the moral compass of those engaged in these nefarious activities. There is no moral compass.
So you're basically saying that compared to the ransomware people, These unemployment benefits thieves are kind of, you know, they're the choir boys.
I would just say that they're all looking for moral compass somewhere, or they don't care. It's right. Look, it's all about the money. It's about the money, and everything else is collateral damage. That's
unbelievable. Yeah.
Well, one of the other things too is that the COVID epidemic hit so quickly. So if you just imagine the amount of upheaval that you'd have been going through for COVID and then unemployment and then getting ripped off all in rapid succession, that just sounds extremely stressful.
There are insufficient protections available in the system. And someone asked an interesting question the other day.
What was it?
Is it easier to spot a skimmer or spot a transaction? The answer is it is not as easy to spot a skimmer as it used to be, but it is easy to spot a transaction. You just have to look to see if a transaction occurred, because you'll know whether or not you did it.
And you can shut it down immediately when you see that, but it is actually a muscle that you need to exercise. So if you have benefits coming in the future, they may go to a debit card, but usually there's the ability to transfer them, isn't there, Travis?
Yeah, it's definitely possible, and it's really easy to do, just to transfer from one account into another, especially if you know for a fact that it's not very well secured. like these cards were.
All right, so that seems like a lock. Adam, you're fired.
Okay.
All right, so when you get your benefits, I want you to make sure that you transfer them to your savings account, okay?
No, you don't. You basically want me to transfer my benefits to you.
No. I'm going to take care of that. I'm just trying to, like, cover my ass.
I'm sure you are.
All right, that's that. It's been a fun time exploring the criminality of absolute pawn scum with you. I hope you have a wonderful week.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. And if you like the episode, please give us 5 stars and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts.
Ratings.
What the Heck with Adam Levin is a production of Loud Tree Media.
It's produced by Andrew Steven, the man with 2 first names.
You can find us online at loudtreemedia.com and on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Adam K. Levin.